Well, amen. It's good to be here. Good to see y'all. Glad to see that many of you are still here. And that's a blessing and encouragement. Amen. And that God is still God, last I checked. And I think he's still doing okay. Really. You know, it's kind of peculiar how that works. As long as God's doing okay, I'm doing okay. When God gets in trouble, we're in trouble. When God can't handle it, the party's over. Okay? So as long as he can handle it, we're good. I appreciate what you've done to the place, too, looking around out there. And you, when we were here last, you were getting the finishing touches on your overhang, your covering there. And now you've got the sidewalk in and so forth. You've expanded the parking lot, et cetera, et cetera. And if I can make a suggestion, what you do out back is run power, water, and sewer out there. So that's where you can park when folks come here. Amen? I'm not suggesting I'll be back, but in case, you never know. So it's one of those things. But, yeah, that's good that you're going to do that. And if you want to do it right, I was thinking about this, get somebody to come and spray the grass on. You ever see that?
Yeah.
It's not cheap, but your grass will grow. I've tried grazing grass this year. That's funny. That's really funny. Kind of a waste of time, really. There's only two ways to raise grass, I guess. That's you put sod down or you spray it. The rest of it is just entertainment. So take your Bibles this morning, but I appreciate this. It's been a blessing to be here, and appreciate your pastor. We got talking, and he invited me down to preach, and being who I am, I thought, well, if you have to have me, I guess I can come, if you're that desperate, so we'll just do that. But I appreciate you talking about me when I'm not here. If you do it when I'm here, it gets nervous. I get nervous, you know, it's just one of those things, but that's just one of those things. Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 59, please. So are you tired of being lied to yet? Isn't that a nuisance? So listen, I was at a pastor's fellowship on Tuesday, and the preacher said I have stopped listening to anything on television because I get tired of having people look me in the eye and lie to me on purpose. It's a peculiar thing that did you ever notice how fast this thing took? Almost like they were planning ahead. It's almost like somebody thought this was going to happen, and so they were prepared to enact these things and so forth around the world. Yeah. And why is it that it just affects mostly people my age? Do you ever wonder about that? It's mostly people 60 and above that it will get sick, and people above 70 that'll have problems with it. If you're over 80 or 90, then it could kill you. Or if you're weak, et cetera, et cetera. They're worried about the kids. Did you notice that the kids don't have a problem with it? And those of you that are under 60 and still young and vibrant and so on and so forth, take vitamin D, vitamin zinc, and a couple other things, you should be all set. It's not what they say it is. I tell people, yeah, I'm taking my mask off, they're going to be dropping dead around me. It's just terrible how that works out. Did you know that a virus is small? You ever seen one? No, you didn't. You won't ever either. And those masks you have on, it goes right through it. And furthermore, when you breathe, it comes right in. Did you know that a respiratory virus is in the air, floats? And that the worst place to be is inside? Et cetera, et cetera. You tired of being lied to yet? Anyway, that's not what I came here for. But I had to get that off my chest. And I'm not done yet. We'll see how it goes. Isaiah chapter 59. Let's see. Verse 9, let's start there. It's just, may as well read some of it here. It says, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. It's a feeling sometimes. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. God help us today. I'd like to be able to say some things that will be an encouragement to these folks. But God, we'd like to also have you show up and do what you want to do. Deal with hearts the way you do. And just have your way. And we thank you for letting us be here this morning. It's good to be in church, Father. We thank you for that. It's a blessing to know the and have the confidence in you and be around some folks that care about you. We thank you as always in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it says that the truth has fallen in the street. Now, if that's not true today, I don't know what is. And the nature of where we are, what we are, is that you have a lot going on in this country right now that shouldn't be going on at all. Not at all. And our Constitution should be a little more effective, and the people that have responsibility to enforce it should be doing that. But what you've discovered, if you listened to anything or watched anything, is that the people that are in power are ignoring it and acting as if what's going on around here, a peaceful protest is throwing Molotov cocktails and setting off fireworks. When did that start? That's peaceful? Throwing things at the cops and causing buildings, breaking into buildings, that's peaceful? I should be more peaceful. It's ridiculous what's going on, and you see it. Now, the thing is that as Christians, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to us because we've been taught to actually think and we know the truth. The Bible says that you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Now, did you ever think about what free means in that context? Being unable to be controlled by liars. You don't control people with truth. Did you know that? You don't control them by telling them truth. You don't control them that way. You control them by telling them lies. That's how you manipulate people. You lie to them. If you've ever raised children, you know that they will not tell you the truth if they don't have to because they want to manipulate you onto their side. It's not something that they practice. It's just natural. It's human nature. And you have to make them tell you what's so. You know, they say, well, the glass broke. Actually, the glass, what, did it jump out of the cabinet? Throw itself down? Commit glassicide, whatever you call that? No, you dropped it. I did? Yes, you knocked it off the counter, you dropped it. It was your responsibility. Can't be. Had to be something else. That's who we are. That's, you start that way. So you come in, you got four of them lined up, you say, all right, who caused the mess in the living room? Beats me. Yeah, exactly. Nobody knows anything. What we're dealing with now is the advancement of that into adulthood, where people who can't take responsibility for what they should take responsibility for, trying to pass it off someplace on somebody else, and so they can go and they have a good cause and a good excuse to blow things up. I think it's interesting in Black Lives Matter that the people that die are black people. What is that about? And besides, go someplace where there's a lot of folks black that are dying and promote it. Africa's a good place to start. Have you ever studied or read about how African folks treat each other? It's wild, pretty much. And in Chicago, it's nice, mostly in places like that. With that little thing they had in Seattle, the three young people that died were black. Interesting. I thought if Black Lives Matter, you'd care about that. They don't. That's not what matters to them. What matters is taking over. And so, I'm not here for political reasons, but as Christians, we need to pay attention to what's going on around us and then be about God's business. Because these folks are walking in darkness. Truth has fallen in the street. You can't find it. What in the world is this blatant censorship that's taking place on the internet, Facebook, Twitter? Blatant censorship. Aren't we supposed to be able to make up our own minds about things? Isn't that what liberty is about? Yes, it is. I'm a Christian. I believe in liberty. I get it from the book. It's the truth that makes you free. It's the truth that causes you to understand things and enables you to make the right decisions and act in the right way. Amen? Well, somebody's not thinking right. Somebody's all messed up. Now, we were in Texas. And by the way, Pastor says, your pastor said, I am pastoring now. But I had a couple things going on, so we had a meeting supposed to go to in Texas. Well, don't you know the Lord scheduled that thing the week that it all came down? So I'm out of town. Every time I leave town, something happens. I'm not sure what I'm going to face when I get back. But something's gone. Something's happened. Something happened. I know it did. I don't know what it is yet, but I'll find out when I get back. That's just the way it works out. I used to leave my church when I was in Manchester, and I'd say, don't do anything while I'm gone. Please. Don't make any major decisions. Don't do anything. So I come back. I was gone someplace for a week. I come back, and my garage is full of restaurant stuff from somebody that's canceled their restaurant and put it in my garage. Wait till I get back. Do it before or after. So being a pastor, I see that. Now, when I was an evangelist, it didn't matter because I was always someplace else. But now that I'm pastor, it's going on again. So we're down in Texas on the March 22nd, the week that Sunday, and the world came to an end. It just stopped. It just quit. Couldn't go to a restaurant. If you did, you had to take it home and eat it. And, you know, we're down where were we in Texas? One of those cities down here. Where were we? Boy, see how my mind's working. Sharp as a what? Yeah. And, huh? Yeah, we stopped there, but we didn't stay there. Yeah, we moved on. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. We were someplace. And so they start this stuff, and they talk about this sort of things, and we were in the hotel, and they didn't want to give us another roll of toilet paper. What is going on here, folks? Seriously. Is anybody dealing with reality? And they don't want to clean the room now because obviously they were going to drop dead if they did walk into a place and it was going to be, oh, well, it hasn't happened, has it? Do you realize this? Now think about this. Of the 160,000 folks that have died, 35,000 of them were in New York City. Who was managing that? And they talk about how Trump can't manage it? Really? And they give this knothead in New York all kinds of accolades because he handled it so well. Not when you lost 35,000 people. And most every place else is 5 or 6, if that. Between him and the folks and his buddies in New Jersey, they hold the record for the number of deaths, and there's 20% of the people that have died in this country. Two places. Let's see, they're both, what party are they with? Right. And here we are. So, in good old northern New Hampshire, we have the mountains, people come up there and hike, and they do all kinds of things, et cetera, et cetera, and that'll keep you healthy. They say there's three things when you have a virus, or a respiratory virus, there's three things you avoid. Confined spaces, like your house. Crowded places, I understand that. And close contact. They had a plane parked on the tarmac, this is before this, a while ago, and they didn't have the ventilation going because they were waiting to do something, and it took a little longer than they thought. You ever been there? Yeah. And so there was two people on that plane that had a cold. Well, the following week, everybody that was in that plane had a cold because it's an airborne virus, a cold virus. By the way, did you know the coronavirus is a cold virus? Have you gotten the vaccine for a cold, common cold yet? Why? They can't make one. They've tried. They've been trying for a long time. They can't make one. But they're going to get one for the coronavirus, which is a common cold virus. Oh, yeah, we're going to suddenly be able to do this. Yeah, I get so sick and tired of being lied to, I could scream. I have screamed. And on it goes. But the reason you have problems with this is because you know the truth. It's always frustrating to know the truth. When a bunch of people around you think they know the truth, then it contradicts what you know. And they promote what they know. as if it's the truth. And it's obviously not. And they're lying. It's because they're trying to manipulate and control people. Now, the problem I have with that, when we were in Texas, the pastor who was supposed to come and preach for me said, I can't come because my wife might get sick and I can't trust, da, da, da. I said, okay, whatever. So I called up my guy and I said, we're not going to have church Sunday, apparently. Oh, that's a good thing. I said, no, it's not a good thing. And so we didn't have church that Sunday. And what we had to do was we had to do various things. So I was on Facebook. I don't have Facebook. My wife does. And if we're on it, it's hers. Amen? That's just the way it goes. For me to spend time on Facebook, I just can't see it. I just somehow, I don't care if you do or not. It doesn't make any difference to me. It's just not my style. So I preach to the phone. You know that nobody's here except her and me. And when I'm preaching to the phone, well, I tend to preach. You know, I'm not doing what I'm doing now, looking around, moving around. I'm just doing this. And I get in a monotone when you're doing that. I said, I wouldn't listen to this. I wouldn't watch this. I would click. Done. Let's do something intelligent now. But I did that for 3 weeks. One thing or another, I guess 3 or 4 weeks. And then we had drive-in church. Nobody wanted to come in the building, but we could drive up. So I parked them as close as I could. Just had them drive up, and I angled them in, and so on and so forth. They thought it was wonderful. This is great. Wow, this, we should have done this before. This is great stuff. And I got up and preached to the neighborhood. Put my speaker on my deck and turned it up, way up, so make sure the folks in the cars could hear me, right? They were right there. And I preached to the neighborhood. You could hear me echoing from the place down over here. You could hear me coming back from that down there. I mean, there was a restaurant across there, there's houses down in there, and so on and so forth on the other side of the road. I had fun. Amen? And some people got the gospel that would never go to church to hear it. I guess that's okay. Did that for a few weeks. And then I heard President Trump say that churches were essential. I said, okay, next week we're going to be inside. So we taped things off and made it. And I don't do that because I'm concerned. I do that because other people act like this is a dangerous thing. I've been wondering about folks that are scared to death of going to heaven. If you get it and you're saved and it kills you, guess where you're going? How is that a problem? I don't get that. Well, I don't want to leave right now. Who cares when you leave? And. Who controls that thing? You think you control it? We're going to wear a mask and we're going to run it away. You don't do that with a virus. How many of you ever had the flu? You ever had the flu? Okay, you've had the flu. Does the flu kill people? Yeah. How come we don't run that off? Hasn't that been around for 15 or 20 years? Or longer, or 100 years? We haven't run it off, have we? It hasn't gone away, has it? What are you going to do with this one? Put it in your pocket? How are you going to get rid of this? Run it out, take it out of town and dust it off? What insanity. What foolishness. But this is how they think. And thinking is critical. How you think about things matters. But you're being lied to so they can affect the way you think about things. My folks, good folks, they really are. They're kind folks that take good care of us and that sort of thing. And in the context of things, church is doing well as far as that's concerned and whatever that means. And they're doing okay, but they're intimidated by all this noise. I have folks that won't come to church because, well, you don't wear masks. Okay. Have you been to Walmart? Well, they wear a mask there. Have you noticed that little bug goes through cloth? And you all carry your respirators so that you breathe just the air that you bring with you, right? You're not breathing the air around you, are you? Oh, you are? Well, guess where the virus is? In the air around you. And how do you filter that? You don't. It goes right through that mask. If you're going to get it, you'd have got it. And you might get it anyway. You might have it. They found out that a lot of folks don't react to it. Amen? But you can give it to other people. I'm not sure about that, and neither are you. But what does science mean in light of what we want to have happen? Nothing. Facts are irrelevant. truth isn't important. But if you're a Christian, it's rough, because there's a lot going on. I personally am getting sick and tired of being lied to. And the truth has taken an awful lot of abuse. The president's taken an awful lot of abuse. Did you hear about the union he made between Israel and the United Arab Emirates? Wasn't that classic? I mean, back when Jimmy Carter did something like that, whoa, it's a big deal. Not a big deal now. Why? Because President Trump did it. So, well, it wasn't him. Yes, it was. Oh, yes, it was. Because nobody else has done it till he got here. He gets no notoriety. And they're just trying to persuade you a certain way. I think it's interesting that when you have a campaign to run for office, this is your platform. We don't like him. Anything else? Yeah, we want to destroy the country by taxing it to death, etc., and getting rid of, you know, annihilating fossil fuels and making it so that everybody has to do what we tell them. Oh, that's, I'd vote for you. Just about 100 years, I would. Seriously. And they run that stuff down the road. Or this is their platform. We don't like him. And we need to trash the economy so people won't vote for him. I'm just all in favor of having a party that has to have a trashed country to get elected in. Right, that's who I want to vote for. People that think that way. Really? He says here, yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. There you go. Job. Your job is not to get people in church. Your job is to get the gospel to the people around you. Any way you can. With intensity, with focus. Aggravate them. Bother them. So, well, they won't like you. They don't like you now. No big deal. You trying to win a popularity contest or souls? Trying to have people care about God and Jesus Christ, which is what they should, or you? We don't matter. We're not important. We're saved. I'm going to heaven. I got it made. I'm not the issue. Jesus Christ is the issue. But how do we get that to them if we don't pray and go get them? Intercede. Get in the way. Bother things. Upset the process. Disturb the situation. Because we're in that day, folks. Now, I believe the tribulation is coming. I'm not going to be in it. Hallelujah. That means I got to go before it shows up. Woo! You know, that's that. Listen, what's happening is we're moving towards a one world government. Everybody says, oh, not that. Oh, yes, that. Bring it on. Why? Because the sooner it happens, the sooner we're out of here. Are you afraid to go to heaven now? Afraid of the rapture? Well, I haven't got this done in my life yet. Are you serious? I've had people say, well, I want to see grandchildren. Ha! Huh? Take them to heaven. You might see grandchildren, they might go to hell. What would that do for you? One of the things I've been really excited about is the fact that Debbie and I have stayed with the program over the years. I haven't changed enough to matter in 30 years. If I have, that's because I got older and weaker. But spiritually, no. And with 22 grandkids, I am glad we didn't move away from God and Jesus Christ. 22. Glory to God. That's an heritage, man. That's a gift of God. That's grace. And I want them all going to heaven. Could you imagine a grandchild wind up in hell? Wouldn't that kill you? Tear your heart out? You've got to stay faithful. You've got to stay diligent. You've got to stay at it. There's no point in jumping off the ship right now. We're not in port yet. You don't want to leave too soon in that regard. These people, well, I can't see going to church anymore. Who cares? Go to church. Well, they don't say what I want them to say. So what? Go to church. Yeah, well, the preacher this and they teach me this. So who cares? Go to church. Well, what if I don't like them? Learn to. They have to learn to like you. Cut them some slack. Do you realize that we're all people? Isn't that boring? Doesn't that irritate you? Don't you wish when you got saved, God changed you from being a people to something spiritual? I've talked to him about that. I said, you could have fixed this thing. You could have fixed it. You can still fix it. He said, no, I can't fix it. I'm not even sure I can do that. Thank you. But the thing is that it's irrelevant. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. He put him in you. Amen. Bingo. You're all set. Hallelujah. Move on. Get with it. Have it happen. Praise God. Glory to God. I mean, just do it. We're so intimidated by foolishness. When this thing came out, everybody's running afraid and they're, this way. And I was reading about one woman. She says, it's so ridiculous that if you walk down the street in New York City without a mask on, people will go up against the wall like this. You poor thing. You poor thing. You have a high rise, it's people go up and down the elevator. You only get one at a time. You know how long it takes to get home after work? Go along one at a time. She's on the elevator. She invited some folks to come in. They're living in fear. And I told my people, I said, I will not be controlled by fear. I refuse to. God is my God, and he said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear. Ooh. But of love and of power, and then he says, of a sound mind. You can think better as a Christian because you're settled on what matters. You have the truth, and the truth makes you free and lets you behave properly. But they look at you like you're a bunch of lunatics. My people think I'm a little strange. They can't quite get it, and they're surely not quite convinced that I'm right. And I tell them, I've always told them, I'm not right. The book is. This is what matters here. So I teach it to them. And like you, they don't come and hear it. My wife read something interesting this morning. It's tough to feed sheep if they won't go where the food is. Dumb sheep standing over in the corner, man, I'm hungry. Well, come on over here and eat. No, I can't. Why not? I can't. Grass is just as good here. It's better. Everybody's enjoying it. If you don't go where the food is, you can't get fed. I don't know about you, but in my house, when Mom put it on the table, that's where you went. I want to eat in the living room. I don't think so. You're eating right here. But I don't want to sit there. Then you can stand. But this is where you're going to be when you eat. And if you weren't home when it was on the table, guess what happened? You didn't eat. The way it works. He says, and wondered. Now, if God wonders about something, that's serious. When God says, that's weird. That's serious. You don't surprise God. So when God wonders, that's serious. He was amazed. He was taken aside. He was surprised in some sense that there was no intercessor. Doesn't anybody care about anybody down there? I mean, I'm fixing to destroy the place, but the classic is in Ezekiel 22, I think it is. He says it's the prophet, the priest, the prince, and the people are all a mess. They do wicked things. They get drunk. They mistreat each other. They take advantage of each other. They don't do right. He says, but if I could have found a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge, I would not have destroyed their nation. I read that one day and it just blew my mind. It over. I mean, I could not continue. I thought, you're kidding, right? This is not, you know, a prophet preaching in 1 Samuel. This is at the end. And he was just about to have it fall apart, but he said, if I could have found a man that would have stood in the gap, interceded, I wouldn't have destroyed him. Think about that with who you are, what you are. Born again, Bible believing, blood bought, Christians, saved people, really saved. You're not faking it. What is your call? You're to intercede. You're to get in the way. You're to pray. You're to step in front of people. You're to slow them down from their destruction. You're to offer the truth. You're to try to make it possible for them to understand what's right. And you have to do it with a broken heart, with compassion. Because you don't just intercede for God and say, yeah, well, if you don't mind. No. It has to be as real to you as breath you take. Where is that today? Where's the fire? Where's the burden? Where's the stirring? You think God stopped bothering people about that? No, I don't think so. We're in the last days, you know, apostasy. Who cares about that? I care about what God says and what I'm here to do. Yeah, well, they're not doing. So what? You're not going to answer for anybody except yourself. When it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, God's not going to say, so who are you involved? Oh, you're going to tell me about that church over there. I don't think so. He says, why didn't you intercede when you had a great opportunity? I was looking for somebody. Where were you? On my boat. Working. Not where I was supposed to be. It'll matter to you then. Make it matter now. God expects us to be responsible people. He's not going to make you be. He's not going to trick you into something. He wants you to take your own responsibility and do this thing because you choose to. He will not make you walk with him. He says, I wondered. He didn't say, I went out and looked for a bunch of people. I wondered that there was no intercessor. What happened to him? Man, how'd this get like this? That's an amazing thing to say. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness has sustained him. God's okay. God's good. And then verse 17, interesting, he lists some of the armor of the Christian. Isn't that wild? This thing has a lot to do with us. We are at that place in time where he wants some folks to stand up and intercede, think differently about what they see, act differently, behave differently, so that he can accomplish something. Are we going to deliver the church from apostasy? No. Are we going to stop the move of the Antichrist? No. Are we going to stay the hand of judgment? No. That's not what he wants you to do. He wants you to intercede for these people, the lost. He wants you to care. He wants you to have his burden for them. And he might just do something, you never know. Yeah, we can have revival. Whether we do or not is irrelevant. That's not the goal. The goal is to please God by obeying him and serving him. And let God do what he will. Never know, you might go out there and hand out 2,500 of these things, and the week after you have 2,000 people show up in church. What would you do then? Pass out is what you do. You pass out. Your preacher would go, I told somebody one time, I said, if you had revival in your town, it would cramp your style. Because you would not know what to do with all those people. Somebody knocks on the door and says, I need to be saved. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm busy. Go away. No, you can't do that. You'd love it if it happened, wouldn't you? How about if it happened midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, for about 2 weeks? It'd be wonderful. No, you'd be dead. And now what do we do with them? We have to have people work, and nobody wants to. Yes, exactly. God sent a revival to just cramp most churches into nothing. They would just not know how to respond or what to do. We don't have revival. It's not that we don't have revival because God's not wanting to send one. It's because we wouldn't know what to do with it. We are not prepared. We are not the people that are prepared for God to move greatly. You're not, okay? You should be. You should get there. But we're not. If I had a revival in my little town and had 50 people show up at church, it'd be the end of my church probably. They wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't know how to behave. I surely wouldn't have any teachers. Surely wouldn't have any people that could take Bible studies. I surely wouldn't have any people that could disciple them. I'd have to do it all myself. My wife and I would do it all ourselves. Say, well, that would be great, wouldn't it? It would be. But sometimes I wonder if God doesn't, it's just, that's not happening because God's got nothing to work with. Because we don't have the burden or the care or the concern. I've watched this in evangelism. You know, as a pastor, it's one thing to see your people, etc. It's another thing to go around to the churches and look for the burden and not see it anywhere. No intercessors. Have a prayer meeting. Nobody shows up. How come you don't show up to a prayer meeting? That should be the most well-attended service you have. But it never is. And when you do pray there, it's not usually serious prayer. Because you have a start and you have a stop. Then when you get down to pray, you should be prepared to be there for a bit. What if God shows up? No, here, you know, imagine this. You're down praying, and the Lord says, oh, well, we'll stop in and see you. So, how's it going? You say, oh, man, I got to get to work. I can't talk to you right now. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, do what you want. Believe what you want to believe. But that is how most of us are. We don't have time for God. We won't make time for intercession. And we won't take God seriously in what he expects of us. We're playing a game. That's the good people. That's the better ones. There's no intercessors. The world is having lies perpetrated on them constantly. You've heard the story. It's been said by Hitler's propaganda man. He said the bigger the lie, the more likely it is to be believed. Propaganda is called spin in this country. It's deception. It's a con game. It's a lie. And it goes on all the time. Thought it was funny during Clinton's era when they started doing this real seriously. It's not funny. It's not funny. And it's our business to resist it. Our country is going down, folks. I hate that. But to get it back, we have to arm ourselves and go take out the people that are taking it away. Anybody willing to do that? Because that's what they do. They say the left is very organized. The right is not. You know why? You don't have to organize the truth. The truth is what it is. You have to organize lying and deception and threat. You have to organize that so it works according to what you expect. This election coming up is going to be one of the biggest elections this country's ever seen. And I'm asking God to keep Trump in just for another term, just to irritate him. I don't think he's the best guy to have, but I think he's a pretty good guy to have. The best guy, I'd vote for Jesus Christ if he ran. But you see what they did to him when he showed up. And he never hurt anybody. And he never said anything that wasn't true. And they crucified him. You realize this? You think that, you get the impression the world isn't like that somehow? So, it's going to go away. The devil has been trying to destroy this country since it was started. And there's all kinds of forces against it have been. The only reason we're still here is because of the grace of God. Thank God for that. And, of course, you know this. You've heard this before. I think it's very interesting that this guy's last name is Trump. What kind of weird stuff is God pulling? The trumpet shall sound. The last trump. What is that about? That is the weirdest thing. That hit me one day. I thought, God, what? Of all the names this guy has to have is Trump? Are you serious? Now, I'm not saying that's significant. It's just odd. Weird, man. We are in exciting times. And we have great opportunities. And we should realize that because we think right, we have a great responsibility to say what was supposed to be said and to encourage people in the right ways. We're supposed to intercede. When we get to heaven, God shouldn't wonder if there was no intercessor in your town. He shouldn't. That's your call. It's your responsibility. Fulfill it. Hey, if the Lord comes back in 2 years, what will it matter if your plans are attained in that time? If it's over. Just cut her loose, man. Go for it. You read this morning about the disciples in the early church. You know why they sold everything? Because they thought the Lord was coming back this week. Right now. Anytime. Immediately. They had no reason to think otherwise. He's coming back soon. So, let's not sell your house and give it to the church. Find an evangelist. No, never mind. But shouldn't we cut loose a little bit? More? Go for it. Maybe you should have visitation every night. Maybe you should have fellowship and get together and pray every night. Maybe you should have a burden and get together with somebody and say, let's try to reach our neighbors. Let's do what we can. You take this crowd, I'll take that crowd. Let's just do what we can. Let's try something. Go for it. Expend the energy, the time, the money, resources. Just do it. Intercede. And see what God might accomplish. I think it'd be great. Give it a run, man. Wouldn't you like to be just full tilt, flat out, boom, rapture comes? Wouldn't that be the way to go? Rather than sitting there watching the television? Rather, down the boat, down the beach? You can't go to the amusement parks anymore. That's the way it works. How do you think about these things? How do you consider these things? You have the truth. The truth makes you free. And teaches you the responsibility of liberty. That you can choose to do right and do well. And walk with God and accomplish His purposes. And God gives you liberty. Don't worry about the state. God gives it to you. And He'll keep you going.